Resident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. Today's date on the East Coast is February 22nd, 2008. That's a 2, 2, 2, and a 2 in a row, which adds up to 8, and then we got another 8 on the end. So we have an 8-8. Might mean something to do with prosperity tonight. We'll see. Before we bring tonight's guest on board, I want to let folks know probably the first 15 minutes or so we will be discussing a couple of topics, and then we're going to take some calls from anyone out there that wants to join in, maybe ask our guest a question or two regarding personal issues that they have, and we're going to keep those related to health. So the call-in numbers, toll-free, 1-877-876-5227. And also in the U.S. and Canada, again, toll-free, 888-815-9756. And the direct line, for those of you who have free long distance, 530, put a 1 in front of that, of course, 876-3222. And we'll take some calls maybe in about 15 minutes or so. Now, there are a lot of things to discuss, and one thing that I've noticed in a lot of the emails going around and a lot of the articles that people are sending to one another, that there is a concern about people's health. A lot of this is related to chemtrails. It's related to impurities in our food, impurities in our water. People who are going to the hospital are actually going home after emergency treatment and developing very severe infections, respiratory problems. Of course, the chemtrails are contributing to massive respiratory problems all over the country. And I get accounts from people. Some people have actually called me from the hospital to tell me how long the lines are and what types of things are they're experiencing, we'll say, in terms of less than honorable health care. Now, I'm not intending to attack the doctors and the nurses and the emergency people that meet you in the hospital, but there seems to be some a general theme of apathy amongst many of the healthcare professionals about the cause of many of these mysterious illnesses that people are coming down with. And our guest tonight and I are going to talk about this a little bit, and we want to invite you to join in the conversation and pose some questions or make some comments about similar experiences that you or your friends or your enemies might be having. With that, I'd like to bring on board Evident Footprints, the guest for tonight. He has been on the show a number of times. He's very popular. His business is booming, and he's going to tell you a little bit about it. And he is an environmental scientist, a health consultant, an herbalist, and also a very accomplished musician. And he's also a good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show tonight.
Hello, Don. Thanks for inviting me back on.
My pleasure. I bet you're real excited that I got my schedule together finally.
Well, you know, I appreciate that intro, but I know you're equally, if not more, busier than I am, Don.
Well, that's an understatement, but when I make these promises, I have to keep them. And so I have Seth to thank because he helped me get access to my bio page, and you know, so I can put that up, because those guys are busy. Seth and Don are very busy. not to mention all the interference we've had, and so they have to really keep up with archiving and all the updates and changes that go on with the whole website. So,
sure.
Managing all these streams and all the programming and the music and the bulletin boards and what have you, it's a big task.
It's time consuming, and there's always plenty to do, but never enough time to do it all in.
Yeah, so I caught up on some of my stuff, also on my website at directlightproductions.com. If you want to read about the show outside of me, there's some information there, as well as some books. I added a new book page. Those of my guests that write books get exposure there on the site, because feel that if they're worthwhile bringing on the air as a guest to talk about their research or their work, and they've written a book about it, they should be recognized for that, and it's a source of information for you so that you can get the whole scoop. There's really not enough time in an hour to talk about the many subjects that they're familiar with. Michael tonight is an example of such an individual, and he's working on a book, by the way, too. So maybe we could put it up a chapter at a time. How does that sound?
Yeah. You know, Don, it's true. This book is about 3/4 done, and it's all set to be finalized, and I just have to find the time to finalize it.
Yeah, okay. Michael, you heard my introduction, and you know about all the people that are sick. In fact, you talk to a lot of people that are having a variety of health problems.
Sure.
And, you know, they touch my family as well as yours and everyone else's. There's really no way of escaping this unless you take precautions. And I'd like to talk about what some of the illnesses are that you're hearing about, not to be macabre and dark, but just to face it, and then talk about what some of the solutions are that are available to folks.
Well, Don, first, just to comment on your previous mentioning of people going to the hospitals and stuff and coming out and getting upper respiratory infections. I just went to a funeral a couple of weeks ago with a good friend's dad, went in for a lung operation, and stayed in there for just a few days, was doing good, came home, and came down with pneumonia about a week later. The doctors didn't acknowledge it, said it wasn't pneumonia, and he died from it. And so there's another case of that. And no question about it, regardless of you're getting exposure because you're getting opened up in an uncleanly place like a hospital, which, of course, is supposed to be sanitized, but it's impossible when you got nothing but very sick people in there. And also just the various types of diseases floating around. And I definitely come across them all. I treat them all. And as I explain every time, that in order to have the best prevention possible, if you don't ever want to have an infection, stay away from animal flesh. And all the animal flesh eaters will always think, you know, that's ridiculous and I got to have that protein or whatever. But you can't escape the laws of nature. You want to pretend there's no gravity? See how far you get. And it's the same thing with health. You don't know about the laws that govern the body, but animal flesh putrefies and it's a magnet for pathogens. And that is microbiology 101. And so that's the first major step, Don, in prevention, as far as like someone like myself who never gets sick at all. I mean, 20, 25 years, nothing, no problems ever, let alone a cold or anything. And that's one of the main reasons why. And then the secondary reason, besides keeping the animal flesh that putrefies and rots inside your digestive tract, keeping that out of the system, then make sure that what your diet consists of foods and that your dietary habits are such that you never really congest your digestive tract. Because the digestive tract, the stomach in particular, is the center and the key to our health, physically. And so when people adhere to these two principles, they will always be happy, because they will not only never get an infection or any other kind of disease, and they'll also have a lot of energy. Even when they're tired, they'll have energy when they follow those two main principles.
It's a very good point you're making. And while I'm listening to your description here, what flashed through my consciousness for about a tenth of a second was also the fact that how we think and the nature of the thoughts that we have, not just the method of thinking that we use, but how we think has a very big role in what happens to our health. We can sabotage good health by harboring the wrong kinds of thoughts. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Don, absolutely correct. And as I always mention in the consultations, and I just had a nice seminar just last weekend, and everybody was very impressed with the information, because nobody's ever really presented it correctly. And so when the people here present it correctly, it registers quick and they can run with it. And so, Don, it's absolutely true. The mind is a powerful tool. The Lord did say, as a man thinketh, so he becometh. Now, the catch is that no matter how much control you have over your mind with the true positive thinking techniques, but if you still trash your body with foods like animal flesh that's a magnet for pathogens, you're still going to get sick. And therefore, it's a two-way street. A healthy mind is a healthy body, and a healthy body is a healthy mind. It's really almost impossible to have a good, strong, clear, positive-oriented mind if the body's pretty polluted.
Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of people say things like, well, I can't eat that kind of food, I don't like it. Or every time I eat that, I get sick. You know, we hear people repeat the very things that they're really subconsciously bombarded with through all the television commercials they listen to. And really, you know, 90 to 95% of what they see on television is a pharmaceutical commercial. And we've talked about that on past shows, you know, about the stimulating types of drugs that they're really pushing hard now to get people just to be in their base functionality, you know, sex and looks, you know. Sex, and they'll talk about energy, but it's more like diet pills, you know, like if you lose weight, then you're going to have more energy. But they don't tell you, well, this is basically speed, you know.
Yes, it's a stimulant.
Yes,
it's not an energy generator, it's a stimulant. Mm-hmm. Or it's not a substance that enables the body to generate energy, is really how it works when you're eating the real foods. Because we are energy generators, heat generators, and when the body's kept clean like a temple and fed temple foods, which are the God foods, the foods from heaven, the foods that keep the body clean and healthy and energized so it's generating heat, those are the foods that provide the energy. Nothing else really can. And a lot of times, even people that say, well, you know, if I don't eat that meat, which is animal flesh that I'm referring to as meat, I get run down, but when I eat it, I get energy. And what they don't understand is all they are is getting stimulated, like caffeine stimulates, but it's from the complex proteins. Because when complex proteins digest, or are attempted to be digested anyway, because it really never can be fully digested, there's two major toxic byproducts that the body has to expel, and that is uric acid and ammonia. And there's the stimulation from that. You're not getting energy, just getting a stimulus, just like caffeine. So in the long run, it's going to do you in. It won't keep you going.
Well, I would think that, I'm not an expert on diet pills. I don't take them. But I would assume, my intuition tells me that it's working really through the brain. It's shutting off certain receptors that are related to hunger and the nervous system's association with the desire to eat. And then, and I'm speaking more about the natural desire to eat, not so much mm-hmm. the addictive desire. And then maybe activating another part of the brain to cause the person to become, let's say, maybe a bit more narrow in their functionality and operating by that stimulus, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so they exhibit signs of nervosity or rapid motion, and probably their thoughts are coming 1,000 miles an hour as well.
Sure.
And really throwing the body out of whack. Now, that when they stop that type of treatment, you know, when they reach a certain level where they say, well, it looks like I lost enough weight right now so I can go back to eating. And what do? They go back to the junk food again. Or the bad, whatever the bad habit was.
That's right.
I talk a lot about starch and sugar when I get into these discussions, because there are people who will eat, let's say, a lot of pasta or a lot of rice, and then they eat a big dessert afterwards. Now, mm-hmm. they're overloaded with carbohydrates at that point, and the body takes the sugar and turns the sugar into fat. It really can't process all of that at the same time.
Yeah, that's right, Don. Absolutely right. There's carbs in everything, even in the sugar foods. What's really happening there is the fundamental error that we're taught as soon as we're born. In fact, when I usually start off my consultations with, as soon as we're born, we're taught how to die. And here's an example, because the starches, which are okay, starches are okay as long as the individual is active physically, because through the physical exertions, the starches can be and will be on a healthy body converted into sugar, which is what the body runs on.
Mm-hmm.
And the major error is after eating heavy starches or proteins, people were taught to have our sweets after all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the body can only digest one type of food at a time, the protein, the starch, or the sugar. That's why in nature we don't see peanut butter and jelly sandwiches growing off trees or boxes of cereal, because nature gave us our body. She designed it. She knows how it functions, and therefore she's providing the proper foods and the proper chemistries so that we can stay healthy. And so everything has its season, and out of it all, we just have to realize that the body can only handle one type of digestion at a time, protein, starches, and or sugars. The real catch to it all is that make sure you always eat the sugars all by themselves. You want to mix protein and starches? Okay. Make sure you don't eat anything else for quite a while. Give the body an opportunity to pull it in, to digest it. But whatever you do, always eat sugars all by themselves, sugar foods like fruit, ripened fruit, all by itself on an empty stomach with nothing else, because if you don't, the sugars go into ferment in the digestive tract because it can't be fully digested. And that fermentation is the beginning of indigestion, which is the beginning of a corruption in the digestive tract, which is the beginning of a form of a disease that will manifest.
Now, you made a very valid point. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches don't grow on trees. What are you going to think of me when you come visit and you see my pizza tree in the backyard? Just kidding.
I'm going to tell you that you better start selling that, because I've never seen one before.
Oh, well, I've got Stromboli.
Yes, well, you know, we can break the golden rule, once in a blue moon, we're tip-top healthy and we're fine. You know, once in a blue moon, I might have a little cookie, a little cupcake or something. Of course, you know, nice and natural, real clean quality ingredients from the health store or something. But I mean, you know, what, twice a year maybe, and it's just a little bit. And then I go to my herbal tea later, because my herbal tea will neutralize the fermentation process so it can't come about. And I can defeat it that way and get around it. But I don't put myself through that too often, because I'm so disciplined over the last so many years that I'm just used to running on jet fuel and nothing else really satisfies anymore. And that gets back to the conditioning, Don. We're all creatures of habit. And you were talking about earlier the pharmaceuticals working on everybody. Yes, it's all conditioning. And people get used to what they're used to. So I just tell everybody, recognize your bad habits when it comes to diet and how you treat your body, and eliminate them and substitute those bad habits with good habits. And then in a span of time, and usually it's not too long, once you start to feel really good, then you really won't miss those bad habits. And if you went back to them, you're going to see exactly how they are no good for you, how they make you feel, and that'll propel you further to stay away from them.
Good point. Now, we were talking about chemtrails. What's interesting now is a lot more people are starting to notice the chemtrails, I'm finding out.
That's good.
It's hard not to notice. I've been seeing them for years, and I've been public events, and I've said to somebody, "You see that up there? Do you know what that is?" And they'd say, "Yeah, that's a contrail." You know,
right?
There are people still believing, you know, when it's 95 degrees outside, that that's condensation at 10,000 feet.
That's right, Don.
You know, where the sky is pretty clear, and I'll tell them, watch, in about an hour, you're going to see big cloud banks all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And they what say, appear today, to be cloud banks, right?
Well, and then, you know, immediately after saying that, they keep looking up, and an hour later, it's overcast, completely overcast, and not just in this general area. It spans several states.
Oh, yeah, they block out the entire sky as far as the eye can see when they hammer an area.
Mm-hmm. Now, I put a picture on my website. The source of the picture was from cloakanddagger.de, and Tim White, who is an intelligence officer, got a picture from the inside of one of these CIA airplanes with 9 of these huge tanks inside the plane. They literally took the seats out of that airplane to make room for these tanks, and it's on my website under the photos section.
Yeah, That's an eye-opening photo.
And now I'm getting ready to post a bunch of chemtrail photos that I'm taking, and that possibly, you know, anybody that wants to send some in to me, that I don't have to struggle to get the permission, you know, because some of these photos are copywritten. I don't know. It seems like the sky belongs to all of us, but
It definitely belongs to the good Lord, and these evil, sinister forces, their time is coming.
But the reason I mention this now is they're starting to acknowledge the actual cause. Now, I was on Len Horowitz's show, Mission Possible, with him and Reverend Roxy Hampton, last Sunday, and we were talking about this missile event regarding the satellite that I guess they took it out last night, was the word on it.
Mm-hmm.
This satellite that was basically non-functional since they launched it in, I think, 2006. And we talked about chemtrails. I talked about the fact that if they blow this satellite up, all of that hydrazine, or at least there's the potential for that hydrazine to enter the atmosphere and then to become absorbed by the chemtrails themselves and then carried wherever that goes. If that turns into rain, all that hydrazine comes down. That's a highly toxic cocktail, if you want to call it that. not to mention the other things that we know, all the metals and the barium and the ammonium combinations, the polymers, the red corpuscles, anthrax, tuberculosis, maybe some flu viruses.
I'm sure.
And people have been getting sick, and they refuse to tell people in the hospitals what the problem is. So they're really not treating the problem. They're maybe masking the symptoms, maybe giving them a little bit of relief. Sometimes it's merely psychological.
That's all they ever really do, Don.
You know, and then there's this myth. When you were talking before, I had this vision of somebody going to their doctor, and the doctor says, well, here, I'll give you a prescription. You know, he might take their pulse, he might listen to their heartbeat, take a temperature, look in their eyes, look in their ears, and he says, okay, I'm going to write you a prescription. That's what he intended to do all along. Somehow they think, well, when I go to the hospital, I'm going to the big kahuna's castle. This is where I'm going to receive the best possible treatment. And usually hospitals are life or death, so they're considered, not necessarily so, but they're considered by people, at least people believe them to be the place where all these issues can finally be resolved.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the case, because they're using the same drugs. They may be using a little bit of cutting procedures. And so they have more options available at the hospital, and I think it's because they offer those other options that people think, well, if I go to the hospital, I'm going to get well. And it's not always the case.
Well, Don, it's unfortunately, from my experiences and observations, it's rarely the case. Rarely the case that you go to the hospital, you come home fine, and you're brand new. In fact, if anybody's ever had that happen to them, please call in. There may not be any cases of that. See,
well,
not
I
only...
had my last visit to a hospital was such a case.
Oh, okay, Don. Well, see, now there's one.
I came back from the other side. But
well, you see, so therefore, it's an exceptional case, and it really has nothing to do with the hospital at all.
Yeah, and that was really the first time in my life that I was really ever sick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for really the first time I needed to go to the hospital
mm-hmm.
for something other than tonsillitis when I was 4.
Now, Don, let me just say this, that aside from everything you just said, which is true, you know, that their approach with their treatments and the drugs and this and that, and none of that is sound science, but in addition to that, people are going there to get well. That's what they're assuming is going to happen. But they're not realizing that they're an organic being that lives on light and air,
mm-hmm.
and that has to be good air. There's no such thing as good air in a hospital, or light, for that matter. And so they're not only denying them the proper physical treatments with whatever they're injecting into their bodies, into the patient's bodies, all these synthetics, all these chemicals, which is totally a non-real science. There's no validity in anything they're doing. There's no scientific merit, no scientific basis, and on real science. But in addition, they're not even providing good quality air or light, which is essential.
Or food.
absolutely, food. And so, so the people believe they're going to the hospitals to get well because of the conditioning again. They see the advertisements for the medical profession, the local hospital and all this. We've got the latest of this and the greatest of that. And they see these guys in their white coats, and I crack up every time I take a local commie rag paper from Poughkeepsie to start my fires in the wood stove. And I look through quick to see what I didn't read in the past before I burn it up, just to get a chuckle. And when I see the advertisement for the local doctors here, and I look at them, not one of them look healthy. But you see, the average layman, they're not looking. They don't have that observation like I do. I meet a person, I can size them up right on the spot, how healthy they are and maybe how much time they have left. And I don't see one healthy-looking doctor on those advertisements, and I'm just cracking up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've seen that. And then, you know, since we're talking about this, there's this one commercial. It's one of these male hormone pills, we'll call it, that will cause a man to grow in that certain part of his body or anatomy. What I forget how they word it on the commercial. But then this guy comes on and he's wearing his lab coat, and I'm Dr. X, and I personally studied this, and I have to laugh. I look at this guy and I say to myself, you have to put a bag over his head to get a woman to want to be with this guy. And as you know, if the only thing he's got going for him is what this pill does, he better hope that pill's working. And, you know, it's just so unrealistic, you know.
It is, but especially when it comes down to fundamental health, you know. You're sick, you got to go to the doctor, and I tell everybody, say, you know, size up that doctor. You're going to trust him that he's going to make you healthy. Size him up. Does he look healthy? Is he wheezing? Is he coughing? Does he look like he can run a mile or two or three or four or chop a bunch of wood for a couple hours or, you know, do anything a kid could do? Because if he can't, then I wouldn't trust him for what he's telling me.
Most of them can't even write.
You know, Don, it's like a mechanic for a car. You know, you've got to get your car repaired, and so you hear about this great mechanic, and so you go. And when you enter his premises, you see that he's not even driving a really fine-tuned machine himself. It's making all kinds of noise. It's idling rough. How much confidence are you going to have leaving your car with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a point there.
So you see, people that know me around here, Don, for example, over all the years, and word of mouth, they say, just go see that guy. Go see that guy. And over the years, many that know me well for years have always told other people, as a new person's drilling me, you know, what... How do you know all this, and how do I know you know what you're talking about? And usually these people that refer him to me will say, I've known this guy for 10 years, 20 years. I've never seen him sick. Never. Plus, you know, look at him. How old do you think this guy is? Take a guess. You know, and then when they find out, no, I'm older than that, and they're like, wow, you're kidding. And so that's how you know you found somebody that can help you when it comes to health. Because that person's healthy, tip-top healthy.
So what you're saying is you're older than an albacore tuna. About 150?
Well, not quite that far yet, Doc.
Okay. Well, you know I'm just joking with you.
I know. I'm just playing with you too, pal. No question about it. You see, for my age, I'm still a spitfire. And I hang out with kids and, you know, play ball with kids in their 20s, and they think I'm not much older than them.
Well, you know, I've been telling people for a long time, and at least since 2000, you know, when I came back from my NDE experience, I did things that the doctors told me would kill me. You know, they said, if you play the trumpet, with the amount of pressure that you have to exert, it'll kill you. 3 months later, I was playing lead trumpet in a big band, a jazz trumpet band. And
wow.
I mean playing.
And yeah, Don, well, you're great. Yeah.
I played a function once, and I had a solo, and I was just feeling my oats at that moment, and I just started playing. And I can play very high, much higher than the average trumpet player. And I was, the band was really cooking that night, and I'm playing this solo, and I'm playing real high, and in walks my doctor.
Wow.
And looked at the stage and saw me playing the trumpet, and the look on his face was, I'm sorry I don't have a picture of it, but then I talked to him when we took a break, and he said, boy, are you really playing that trumpet? And I said, yes, do I look like I'm dead? And he said, no. but I'm afraid for you, he said. And I said, don't be afraid, you know. It's a mindset, you see. I feel
right.
Like I'm 18, And
right.
since I started the Dragon Juice, now I feel like I'm 15. I can work 20
that's
hours.
Right, Don. That's
20
right. And
hours
you're
straight.
Also, you're also utilizing your mind faculties positively, properly, and now you've got the whole effect. No matter what they told you, it's not happening because you're in much better shape than they understand.
Well, my response to the doctor when he told me that it would kill me was, it would kill me if I couldn't.
And you so, got it. That's
so
true.
I will be playing the trumpet, I told him. 3 months.
That's right.
3 months, and that was major heart surgery after.
Yeah, that's so great. That's a great comeback story.
So, you know, there are, and I was a world-class distance runner prior to that, too.
Mm-hmm. That's what you had for yourself going into it all, being already in very good shape.
Oh, yes. Even my heart was manufacturing new arteries, if you can imagine that. Some supernatural event occurred, and the doctor, you know, the doctors were all freaked out by it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, that they'd never seen anything like that.
Well, you see, Don,
just going to add to that, that that's when you know you have a mission. That's when you know you're going to have...
That's right. You got it.
You're going to have something you have to do.
Absolutely right. And they never seen anything like that because they don't really know what the human body's all about at all. Those guys are clueless about what the human body is. And what you're describing there, Don, is this rejuvenation. I'm very familiar with it, as well as various other types of amazing rejuvenation powers that the body displays, and it's rare. But it only happens in those that are very spiritual and have a strong mental faculty, and then the body responds in ways that we never thought possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is part of my message too, and it's incorporated itself in my music as well. You know, I've made a connection. Actually, 10 years prior to that, I was already working on music in that context, you know, in terms of developing a library of healing music. And I came out of that experience, and I listened to my own music that I had already produced, and that seemed to accelerate the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, music does that when it's good quality, positive music. And positive in the sense for music, whereas when you listen to it, it makes you feel good. See, I can do that, Don, a lot of times when I have to work on myself and I'm going to shut down and just focus on myself, I surround myself with any kind of music that just makes me feel good. It doesn't have to be classical. Could be some really nice pop stuff that I enjoy from the 80s or something. It just has to make you feel good. That stimulates the mental faculties to start to generate certain thought patterns, which the nervous system responds to, and then transmits that, those messages, those signals, to every cell in the body. That's basically how it all works. And so you got it, Don. The music is the key for getting us in that frame of mind where we can now be channeling the highest energies that the mind can access, because really it's just accessing. The thoughts are just accessing energies. And then the nervous system is going to transmit it all to every cell in the body, and the cells respond. You see, we are the driver of a car. Our body's the car. We take it. It takes us everywhere we go. But we're really the driver. And the cells in our body know that there's a driver. And they are totally obedient. So if the mind's generating bad, negative energy, thought patterns, then, right, like we were saying at the beginning of the show, then there's going to be deteriorating effects on the body, because the cells are responding to the driver. And so when we harness our control over our mind. So it's always constructive, always at the spiritual realms where you're tapping the highest energies possible. Then it's unbelievable what the body can do. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, what's hard for a lot of people, and what's beautiful about music, is if a person can discipline themselves enough to sit down and listen to the music. For instance, I'll tell people, okay, I'm going to make you a CD of music that I interpret as what you need in your makeup. Okay, the energies that surround your body and really move through your body too. We're talking about frequencies, basically aligning the sound and the light frequencies. Mm-hmm. That's the concept that or the principle that's in operation.
Yeah, these are the fundamentals to it all, right?
Yeah, they don't need to understand what's happening. All they have to do is listen to the music. And I'll tell people, now you should listen to this with headphones on, so that you're undisturbed by outside things, and the effect is more profound. It would be like if they were going to take their little pill, and the difference between looking at the pill and actually taking it, you know, and swallowing it, okay, presuming that that pill would be, you know, helpful to them. I'm just using the example, and I'll have people say, well, I listened to it, but I just had it on in the background. I was working on some other things. It's sort of like being on a treadmill, eating a bag of potato chips and drinking a soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't have the time to eat and exercise both, so you figure you'll do them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really get the benefit of the treadmill. In fact, you're engaging in that old habit that you were describing.
Right.
And so I have to be a little stern and say, really, you should listen to this with the headphones, and you should be relaxed, and you should allow the music to do its thing. Allow nature, when you eat, allow nature to do its thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right, Don. That's right. Everything is a process. Understand what the process is and allow it to work. Don't interfere with it, and then we'll always benefit from whatever that particular process has to offer, whether it's eating good foods and proper combinations, giving it ample time to digest before we eat anything else, allowing all that process to come to fruition, pardon the pun, and or if it's a process where you want to absorb yourself with a positive, constructive music vibrations, sound vibrations through music, so that you can generate some kind of mental activity that's going to bring about the results that you're aiming for as a goal, whether it's physically for the body, a rejuvenation thing or a healing thing, or it's something external, something that you're trying to obtain.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Len Horowitz talks about this same thing, and you know, he talks about the perfect circle of sound, his study of the Fibonacci series and the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, I thought you meant the cycle of fifths.
No, the perfect circle of sound. Well, no, the cycle of fifths is for alcoholics, actually.
Oh, I just pitching, when you said circle, I was thinking of that cycle of fifths.
No.
I'm teasing you, Don.
and there's validity in that because of the way nature and the way the universe has been created.
I just got your alcohol part of the cycle of fist, Don. It took me a little while. that was quick of you, by the way. Not being a drinker took me a while with fists, right? Okay.
Actually, it's the biker alcoholics.
Yeah, fists. It's been a long time for that one for me, since I've heard that term for that. But yeah, Don, it's all about sound. You know, Don, everything is light and sound. That's the fundamentals to all of creation. And the higher vibrational sounds are very healthy. That's what sustains creation, along with the light energies. We just want to shy away from the lower vibrational sounds because they're destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, you find that a lot, and I'm going to sound like I'm attacking certain kinds of music. That's not my intention whatsoever. But there are certain styles of music that use certain low frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are the ones that cause people to dance, or people readily dance to. And some of this is world music. Some of this is what they call house music.
Mm-hmm.
You hear this a lot in Europe. It's just the incessant pounding of a bass drum going boom,
right.
Boom, boom, boom,
sure.
Boom. And okay, it's pretty much a harmless thing to dance. And since it is a form of exercise, it's beneficial to the body compared to just sitting down on a couch. But what people don't realize is that they're taking that energy in, and it's having an adverse effect on their psyche, on their health. It's lowering their vibration to those frequencies.
It's altering it, right?
Yes, now. Right. If you tuned yourself into the earth, you would have to come down to a frequency somewhere around 7.93 or 7.94 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Some round it off to 8 hertz. Even 8
yep.
hertz is close.
Right.
You will feel that more than you will hear that.
Right.
That's only 2 octaves above the frequency of an earthquake. Earthquakes generally move from 1 to 2 cycles at the high end, 2 cycles per second.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a massive standing wave. And what we're talking about in these low frequencies are standing waves.
Exactly.
And it's these low frequencies that keep moving. And they move through walls. They move through floors. They move through buildings.
They move through liquids.
Yes. So imagine what it's doing. Of course, it moves through the air, too.
Yes.
You're ingesting that on a metaphysical level, and you're really destroying certain aspects of your being.
Don, and physically, too. Not just metaphysically, but physically, because
well,
you're...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know,
yes.
Right, like, you know, when they blew the walls of Jericho down with Joshua and the angels, and they... blew the trumpets and the walls of Jericho fell down. So sound can be very destructive, and when we're exposing ourselves to these kind of low frequencies like you're talking about, absolutely destructive physically at the cellular level. And that's why when you say people don't really notice it, but that's their error. You should notice right away when you're in an environment and you hear sound surrounding you and it's grabbing your attention. You ought to zero in on it real quick and find out if it's something that is conducive to make you feeling good or just the opposite. If it's just the opposite, I'm gone. I either tell the people, lower that, or I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't in touch with themselves enough, in tune enough with themselves to realize when they're in these various environments whether or not the kind of sounds they're surrounding themselves with are actually bothering them or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're not noticing it because they're not observant enough, Don, to listen to their body talking to them.
Well, it's a combination of several things. Number one, if you listen to loud music for extended periods of time, your ears naturally close up. If you listen to music...
Sure.
That was fast.
The high volume frequencies are going to definitely, you know, they're just going to stress those eardrums right out. And
now I was
there's nothing worse than leaving a place and you think you're deaf.
Yeah, I know.
From a loud concert.
I know an engineer in the studio, and I would listen to his mixes, and I would ask the people in the studio, when was the last time you aligned the room? When's the last time you tuned the room?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, what do you mean? And I'll say, well, to me, the mix sounds like it has way, way too much bass in it and not enough high frequency or mid-range. And they'll look at me, and then they'll say, mention something to the engineer, and the engineer will say, I'm deaf. I lost my hearing 15 years ago or 20 years ago from listening to loud guitars.
Right.
And so I don't know what I'm doing on the low end. I have to rely on the feedback, no pun intended there, of the other people in the studio to tell me if it's too much bass. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, it's all bass. What do you mean? That's the kind of thing that happens. And still, people somehow are allowed to still work in that environment as if they're doing quality work.
And that's surprising.
What they're doing is they're also causing the other people there to experience the same phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. That's
see,
right.
The equipment knows what's going through it, and it will reproduce it accurately if it's fairly decent equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the alignment has to do, and the tuning of the room has to do with hearing, knowing that what you're hearing is actually what you're putting on the final recording medium, whether it's tape or a record, you know, the vinyl, or if it's a CD now. And in fact, it's more critical now with the CD because CDs and digital technology tend to pick up everything. And they've got
sure.
it down to where it's more natural, analog, like we are. We're analog
mm-hmm.
creatures, really. You
mm-hmm.
know, like you said, we're physical creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of technical issues going on that are taking place automatically that the average person isn't aware of, but the bottom line is how it sounds in the end. Now,
mm-hmm. sure.
I don't intend to sound so technical here other than to say that there's an example of someone who has succumbed to the very thing that was excessive, okay? It would be the same thing if you were eating food
right.
excessively, heavy foods, heavy
That's
sound,
right.
or
right.
heavy drugs, you know.
It's
it,
all,
it really
it's all the
matter.
Same principle done, absolutely true.
So, you know, when I started composing this music, my intention was to compose music that adhered to the universal laws, and I was intuitively using those frequencies that Dr. Horowitz mentioned. In his book, Love the Real Da Vinci Code, he mentions that, and he talks about it quite frequently on his show. And it's the same principle really throughout the universe. We can't escape that. We can only escape it by breaking the rules. And when we break the rules in a universal context, we are violating natural law.
Yes, Don. You know, I'm for me... Since I heard the music of the spheres quite a few years back now, one particular summer afternoon when the good Lord blessed me with that experience. So I know firsthand the beautiful music behind the scenes holding all of creation together at the atomic level. And it's beautiful, beautiful music. And all the great music that we have in our history of this earth in modern times, from the Baroque, Renaissance, Baroque, classical, romantic, up to modern times, all the greats from those eras, it's all in there. Those guys, those masters captured a little bits of the essence that I heard in the music of the spheres, but there's way more in the music of the spheres as well, but some masters caught more than others. The real greats captured a lot of it. And so music is, sound and music is so important for quality of life. In fact, Don, it's the music that sets the culture. Culture does not set music. Music sets the culture. The Renaissance period came out of the Dark Ages. How did it happen? All of a sudden, a new shoot comes out of this dark period of history that was truly barbaric, very primitive, very dark, all under the Catholic Church control, of course, but nonetheless, very primitive, very dark, and then all of a sudden a shoot of growth comes up, the start of civilization that became what is known as the Renaissance, and all of a sudden, great minds everywhere, and talent, and whether it's in paintings or all the other arts and the sciences, you know, it all started fusing together, manifesting. How come? Because first came the musicians with the Renaissance music. That's how come.
And just like
today.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Changing the frequency.
You got it. It stimulates everything. Just like today. Look at the corruption and the corrosion in our civilization. Not at the political level, but just in our society as a culture, as a people. The way people talk today,
mm-hmm.
when you hear them speak, the level of intelligence in their vocabulary and their mannerisms and how they dress, it's all because they're being influenced that way by the crap music that's being drummed on them 24/7 through the commercial radio stations out there and movies and everything else that's pumping out a lot of the garbage music today that's destructive, deteriorating. And that's what people don't know, but the insiders know it. Music is what's going to start the trend. Culture doesn't shape music. Music shapes the culture.
You know, before we run out of time here, I wanted to mention one thing, and you were talking about the spheres, and I recalled going out last night. In fact, I took a couple of pictures of this total eclipse that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking pictures of the moon for those out there that were wondering what was eclipsed. And I stood there looking at it, and it had a very eerie energy to it. I don't know if you saw that last night.
I certainly did, Don, and I felt it too.
It did. It was
something's coming.
Since it was a very sinister kind of energy that was reflecting
mm-hmm.
off of the moon.
Yes.
Now, I found when before I went on the air, I came back into the house and got ready for my broadcast, and I just noticed that all of a sudden there was a bulletin on CNN on the internet about breaking news that they had shot down the satellite. And I thought, how interesting that they did this during the eclipse.
Yes, it is.
It's another, there's a signature to that event.
Oh, yes, there is, Don.
Are you feeling that too?
Oh, well, scientifically, I understand it. You know, the eclipse was occurring. They wanted to, for whatever they wanted to do with this satellite, they found this to be a more suitable time to do it in for their agenda, to take advantage of certain forces aligning, you see? And so they were trying to manipulate it, those forces, to serve their purposes for their agenda. And so, sure, Don, I was definitely picking that up.
Now, that didn't frighten me. It would frighten a lot of people. And I guess, you know, what should an eclipse look like? Well, you should see the darkening of the moon, and it will have a different glow to it. But it had sort of a rusty red glow, almost a brownish glow to it,
mm-hmm.
and very eerie looking.
Yeah, there was an unusual energy around it all last night.
And now this headline that they had put up, they put it up in yellow and black. Like a nuclear warning sign, you know, that those strong colors, yellow, you know, canary yellow and black.
Right.
And And I, that struck me, the way they did this to get your attention.
Right,
then
sure.
Then I refreshed the browser, and it was gone. It was just up for a brief time, and then they
really?
Had the tiniest little link on the right side. You could barely find it.
Huh.
About the event. Now, they claim they shot it with a missile.
Right.
I kind of doubt that they did that, and I think they probably used a let's say, like a particle beam weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Something more on that order. It, you know, they don't want us to know about the technology that they're using, and
sure.
They really don't want us to know what they did to that thing.
No, they clearly don't, Don.
Now, that's if they even did what they claim they did. We, you know, we have to think outside the box and assume that there's something going on with that whole event.
Oh, yes.
And I think in the coming days, we'll find out about it. And when people do, people are going to be enraged. That's the general feeling I was left with last night.
Well, I'll be looking forward to the final scoop on what that was all about, but for sure it's not going to be positive, and hopefully people will be enraged, and that'll be just another straw in the camel's back for the American people, just saying, hey, enough's enough with the just the deceit and the lies and the manipulation of the American people. And but from the those in charge that we pay, we elect, and we appoint.
Yes, and it never ceases to amaze me. Now they started showing the Kirstie Alley saga. This is about her losing weight. Now Kirstie Alley is where we should be focusing our attention.
You're saying, Don, that they were bringing this up right after a quick blurb on the satellite story?
Well,
is that what you mean?
This is the news tonight now. I think I saw 15 seconds of it.
Okay.
I can't really stand watching it, but I think they're prepping her for a wrestling match against Paris Hilton and Britney Spears is what I think is happening.
Boy, I can't wait to see that one, Don.
Yeah.
So much for the news and the information they feed the sheeple.
Oh yes, I mean it's a sin really, but yes. That's why we have this show here. If we relied on them to tell us the truth, we wouldn't have this show, would we?
Don, if it wasn't for shows like yourself, my friend, we'd be still in the Dark Ages, and nothing would have really changed since the Dark Ages from a few hundred years ago.
Well,
because the controllers today want to recreate the Dark Ages, and this time it'll even be darker and scarier than the first Dark Ages, which was horrendous.
For sure. They didn't have the central banks and the pharmaceutical and the oil companies back then, you know.
That's right, all the toxins and the advanced technologies for suppression and control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They just used religion back then.
Yeah, Michael, we're out of time. I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and you know you're going to be back here.
Don, always a pleasure, sir. I appreciate it very much.
And I want to invite all the listeners to visit my website, directlightproductions.com. Go to the sponsors page and read about Michael Anthony's private stock. And Michael says he's going to sometime write an article or two for maybe my health page or something like that. So hopefully he can write a couple of pieces for us on sound health.
Absolutely. I'll just give you some excerpts or from my book, basically. Something like that would be fine, too. But I'd be glad to do that, Don. And I appreciate you posting me up on your website. That's a great website. And I'm just excited to see my stuff up on there. That's great, Don. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a work in progress. So, you know, it's going to keep transforming as time goes on, hopefully getting better
in any event.
In any event, thanks a lot, Michael, and you take care
Thank
of yourself.
You.
We'll be
you
talking
too,
soon.
Good night,
and folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest was Michael Anthony, and I'm Don Nikoloff, and I wish you a peaceful evening, lots of love, lots of light, and a good night.